Okay, we're up to Perik Chofchas, Pasik Yud. Pasik Yud. Vayika Hananya Hanavi es Hamoto, Me'al Savar Yirmiyo Hanavi, Vayishbereyu. So we are in the middle of this discussion, this episode where Yirmiyo Hanavi was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to carry on his shoulders motos and moseros, bars and straps. The question was he carrying on his shoulder five, six? He was definitely told to make six sets of bars and straps and ultimately deliver them to six different individuals, five representatives of the five various nations which surrounded Eretz Yisrael, and one set was to be delivered to Tzidkiyahu. The Nevuah was told him 15 years in advance. We learned the machlokes between Mitzudos and Rashi. Did he actually wear the straps and the bars for 15 years, or did he first put on the straps and the bars only the very last year, only after Tzidkiyahu became Melech for 4 years, or maybe even 1 year? So that was a disagreement. But whatever the case was, it came a certain point in time when Tzidkiyahu became Melech. He definitely at that point in time was wearing around his neck and shoulders a bar and a strap. And people asked Yirmiyahu, what is this strange, weird thing that you are doing, carrying this heavy beam and these straps around your neck and shoulders? So he said to them, the reason why I'm doing this is because Hashem has revealed to me that Nebuchadnezzar is going to conquer Eretz Yisrael and is going to conquer the entire region. And Hashem is sending a message through me that all of us should humble ourselves before Melech Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. We should all humble ourselves and we should accept upon ourselves the yoke of his Malchus, and that will be for our ultimate benefit. So obviously people did not like to hear this message. They were not happy with this message, and this took place already after Nebuchadnezzar already conquered Yerushalayim and brought with him into Galus, took down into Galus Yechonia and the Chorosh v'Hamasker and a significant collection of the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. There was this individual by the name of Hananya ben Azor, who was, according to the Mefarshim I saw, was at one point in time a real Navi. The reason why he had legitimacy and people were listening to him was because in the past, when he was a young man, before he turned sour, he was a real Navi. And he was legit. It's only later in life he turned sour. He turned sour and he started saying things that were false. So Hananya ben Azor, he told the people that Yirmiyahu is a fraud. His Nevuah is not true. There's nothing to worry about. We should not subjugate ourselves to Nebuchadnezzar. Everything will be fine. And in fact, the Kalim that had been taken down to Babel will be returned. Yechonia and the Choresh v'Hamaskel will be released. And everything will be fine and good. There's nothing to worry about. And Yirmiyahu, what he's saying is false. And here, Yirmiyahu, he went, and we learned last week on Friday, there was a dialogue, there was a debate. The big debate. I don't know if there were 100 million people watching, but there was a debate between Hananya and Yirmiyahu as to who was right. And Hananya and Yirmiyahu said, and Yirmiyahu said to Hananya, the gist of the upshot of the whole debate was that Yirmiyahu said, I am predicting something bad. You are predicting something good. Therefore, the burden of proof falls upon you. Because something that is good has to happen. Something which is bad can be rescinded. So just because I'm not the one that has to provide proof, you are the one who has to provide proof. Because even though I may predict evil, Hashem can have charata. But you who predict good, you are the one that bears the burden of proof. And you already have been delegitimized, it appears, at some point in time. So this was the big debate between these two. And now we finally come to the climax of this episode. After everything was said and done, Vayomer, Vayika Hananya ben Navi, Pasuk Yud, Parchof Ches, Vayika Hananya ben Navi, Es Hamotah, Mi'al Tzava Yirmiyahu Hanavi, Vayishbereyu, he had the chutzpah to take the bar the beam off the shoulder of Yirmiyah and to shatter it, as if to say, you're sheker, you are a Navi sheker. And he did a maisa to solidify his statement, his prophecy that Yirmiyah is a fraud. Vayoymer, what? The straps, a good point, it doesn't say this, a very interesting point. What happened to the strap? You're right, I don't know. It's obviously, there's something very deep here. What exactly does the strap symbolize? What does the mot symbolize? Why only the motah? We'll see in the first, what exactly about the motah? There's a kesher, what exactly did it even look like? It's a big mystery, what it looked like. There's a kesher, not a kesher. Okay, we'll see in a moment. Now, next, pasuk gidal, vayomer Hananya le'enei kol ha'am, le'emar koyomer Hashem, so says Hashem kocha, just like I have broken, I have shattered the bar of Yirmiyah that is carrying on his neck, a shoulder, likewise, Eshbar, I will also shatter as all the yoke Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Ba'od Shenasayim Yamin within 2 years. How did he get 2 years? I don't know. Me'al Tzavar Kol Hagoyim, from upon the neck of all the nations, period. And then the pasuk says something very frightening, Vayelech Yirmiyahu Hanavi Lidarko. Yirmiyah did not put up a fight. You would expect Yirmiyah was a very tough person. He took a lot of abuse. He fought back. In this instance, he was silent. He was silent as if to indicate that he saw the people were on the side of Hananya ben Ezra. It would have been futile. It would have not accomplished anything. It would have been damaging for him to fight back. The best thing in this instance was to be silent. Sometimes it's proper to be quiet, and sometimes you have to speak up. You have to know where to pick your fights. You have to know. You have to know how. You have to know. You have to have strategy, and the strategy was to be silent, which was indicative of that recognizing the people were swayed to the side of Hananya ben Ezar. So notice they vacillated back and forth. We learned last week that when we started, the pasuk put the originally together with Hananya ben Ezar. And then Yirmiyah convinced them that he was right, and then all of a sudden the word Ha'am, the common man, he was in the same sentence, in the same expression as Yirmiyah, which the Mefarshim learned last week indicated that the people switched sides. And now once again, the fact that he was quiet, they switched back. The people, the Hamoinam, were wishy-washy. They flip-flopped. It wasn't just the politicians who were flip-flopping. The people were switching, vacillating back and forth between the different candidates, these two different people that were claiming to be the Navi Emes. Okay, let's see the Mefarshim over here in these two psukim. Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud and Mitzudah Stav, it says, Es Hamoto, Min Hamoto, Shnos, Al Tzavara, Bidvar Hashem. K'moshe Kosov L'malah. So it appears over here that we read the Mitzudah, this is bottle. Why does it only make mention of one Motah? There were six. Why only one? So first he says very simply is that he only broke one. The Yirmiyah was carrying six bars, six sets of straps. He only broke one of the six. And the second parish is v'yitachein. It's possible, the Mitzvah says, she'adayin lo sholcham el hamalachim hamurim l'malo o shenishar. They did not yet send them. O shenishar. I don't know how that fits into the theme. What he's saying, I'm not sure.
He still had the other ones on his back. He hadn't sent them yet.
He had all of them. All six. And he only broke one of the six. Oy shenisha achas al tzavarei k'neged melech Yehuda v'osu l'gach Hanan. He gave already five already gave away. Five of the beams he already gave to the shluchim, to the ambassadors, to send back to their kings. And the only one that he had left was the one that was meant to go for Tzidkiyahu, and that is the one that Hananya ben Ezar broke, Vayishberehu. Shavar, now I don't know what he means over here, I think he's asking why is the Lashon Zohar? Because a mota is a hey at the end, which indicates that it's a feminine form. So Shvira, Vayishbereha, it should say Vayishbereha, not Vayishberehu. Vayishberehu is masculine. So it's why are we switching from the motah, the feminine, to the masculine? Shavar hakesher shahoya b'motah. We do not know what it looked like, but it seems that the motah had a kesher, had a knot. Maybe it's a natural knot from when on the trunk of the tree. I don't know. Or the kesher means there was some type of gadget or some type of insert that was put into the bar, this piece, and it was broken. L'chein omar b'loshon zohar.
How did he attach it?
How they attach? Okay, they attach. Tied it on. They tied it on. It was a knot tied on. That this is what he broke. Vayelech. Now it says plus. He never got it, right? He never got it. So the other five got it, and it's the Kyo. Now, why not? Why? What's the difference? He didn't want to give an audience. They didn't see eye to eye. I do not know. Vayelech. Why did Yirmiyah flee? Why did he leave? Ki pochad mimenu lohoshiv lo dovar me'atzmo. Mitzuda says he was afraid. He was afraid for his life. If he would go and he would start fighting with Hananiah ben Azar, obviously he was a very powerful person. Who knows? Who knows what he would do to him? So he just felt the best thing at this point in time was to be quiet. Let's see.
Right. He didn't get Nebuah from Hashem to speak at this point in time. So he wasn't going to say
okay.
Anything on his own.
On his own. Everything he did was from Hashem, possibly. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk. There is no Rashi on these two psukim. Okay, we did everything last week. Okay, let's see over here the Radak. Pasuk Yunapasuk Yudalif, Es Hamoto Me Al Hatzavar Yom Yohanavi Vayishbrehu, Taha Vayishbrehu Al Ha'oil, Shunota, he's again asking the question, the Mota. The Mota is Beloshain in the Keva. So why is Vayishbrehu not Vayishbreha? So he's saying that it's referring to the yoke. And the oil is Lashon Zohar, not like the Mitzudos that it says refers to the Kesher, but rather the yoke. Al oil shunota kamota me ala tzavar Yirmiyahu v'shavar ha'oil, he broke the yoke, shahoya nikshar b'mota, that was tied to the mota. Okay, and let's go in Pasuk Yud Beis. So now Hashem appears to Yirmiyah and gives him words of response. Vayihi devar Hashem el Yirmiyahu v'achrei shivor Hananya hanavi es hamotah miyal tzavar Yirmiyahu hanavi leimar haloich, I want you to return v'yamarte el Hananya leimar koyamah Hashem motos eit shavarta. Very good, very good. Look, I have acknowledged the fact that you have broken the chutzpah to take the mot of the navi and to break it. But you should know you only broke a motah, motos. Now over here notice it says plural. See, that's also a discrepancy. Because before it says he only broke a mota, singular. Here it says, motos eit shavarta. He didn't break motos. He only broke a single mot. So why the change? I don't know. But that's what it says. You've broken motos of wood. And as a punishment for the chutzpah of breaking the mota of eitz, we're going to replace them with a motos of barzel. And not only is the barzel just physical, barzel is going to be the symbolic. Is that the punishment will be that when Nebuchadnezzar conquers this region, he's not just going to rule with a moat of eitz, which is lightweight and is susceptible to being broken and getting loosened. It's going to be firm. It's going to be barzel, which means there's going to be no escape. V'yosisa sachtehen motos barzel. Ki choyamar Hashem tzedakai. So Hashem elokei Yisrael, oil, a yoke. I'm changing the prophecy. I'm changing the decree. It's going to get worse. Ol barzel nosati al tzavar kol hagoyim o'ele. On the neck of all of the nations. La'avod es Nebuchadnezzar melech Babel va'avaduhu. And you will certainly... I'm no longer giving you a choice. Until this point in time, the Nebuah is taking a very, very, very sharp change. Until this point in time, Hashem sent the Navi as giving them an option. The mode of eitz is not a gezerah. I'm warning you, you have an option. If you will serve Nebuchadnezzar, then you will not have to suffer the mote, the motos of eitz. But no longer is it an option. Now the pasuk adds, va'avaduhu. It's too little, too late. I guess you have to assume that in Hananiah ben Azar expressed the feeling of the five kings. He was bringing out their response. They wouldn't have the chutzpah to go and break the moat of Yirmiyah unless the kings support. They told him this is nonsense. We don't care. We're not going to listen. We're not going to humble ourselves. We're not going to pay homage to Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to rebel. Hashem says, I told you what, you want to reject my command. It's no longer going to be a choice. You no longer have free will. It's going to be va'avaduhu, you shall certainly serve Nebuchadnezzar. V'gam, not only you will serve, v'gam eschayas hasod nasati lo, it's universal. Globalism. Everyone's going to suffer. Even Nebuchadnezzar, even the animals are going to serve Nebuchadnezzar. Vayoimer Yirmiyo Hanavi El Chananya Hanavi Shimono Chananya. Listen to what I have to say. Lo shilo shilo chacho Hashem. Hashem did not send you. V'yaton you hivtachto esam hazeh al shoker. You have promised the people lies. A true politician, you promised them lies. L'chein therefore koyam Hashem hinani mishalechacho me'al pnei adama. And therefore, you will suffer. Not only will the world suffer for their response, but you personally will suffer terrible things. I'm going to sing him al pnei adama hashana atames. Here, Yirmiyah gave a sign. Yirmiyah is providing a moifes that within 1 year you will die. Ki sara dibarta al Hashem, because you have spoken falsehood in the name of Hashem. And indeed, the pasuk says, "Vayomos Chananya Hanavi Bashana Hahi." In that year, Bachodesh Hashvi'i. Now, before you see the Lefarshim, just to point out, what exactly does it mean you're going to die in the year? So there are different interpretations. It simply means you're going to die within a year. Giving you 365 days, or Jewish calendar 354 days, within a year. And the pasuk just happens to mention that he died on Bashana Hahi Bachodesh Hashvi, sometime during the seventh month, which is Chodesh Tishrei. He died either it doesn't say the first day Rosh Hashanah, he died Aleph Tishrei, maybe he died on Sukkot, maybe he died on Simchas Torah, maybe he died at the end. It just says he died in the seventh month. However, Chazal interpret this a little bit differently. I'll just run it by you now, we'll see it inside. Is that a Chodesh, the years are calculated from Chodesh Hashvi. The year will change from Tavshin Ayin Vav to Tavshin Ayin Zayin on the first day of the seventh month. So in Yirmiyah it says you have, it doesn't mean you have a year. You're going to die by the end of the calendar year. So when does the calendar year end? The last day of the sixth month. That's the last day of the calendar year. So even though maybe you only have a few days left, that's when you're going to die. The pasuk then would appear to contradict itself. You're going to die by the end of the calendar year. And then it says that he died in the seventh month, which means in the beginning of the next year. So indeed, this is a very curious expression in Chazal Darshan, that he died, he was dying, he was a goyse. So this is a very interesting thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always does things like this in order to require people to make a free will choice. He died. He was dying the very, very end, the last day of Elul. It was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he was getting weaker and weaker, and he realized he's about to die. He told his children, lock the doors, close the windows, and keep me alive artificially. Make believe, let it be make believe I'm going to be still alive tomorrow on Rosh Hashanah, and only announce my death after Rosh Hashanah begins, so that I will prove to the world that Yirmiyah is a liar. If I have survived into the next calendar year, that means the prophecy of Yirmiyah, the sign, the moifes that he has given, that I'm going to die within this year, is not true. And the same way this is not true, everything else that Yirmiyah says is not true. Just a coincidence that I got sick and I died. But if I really would have died because of the curse of Yirmiyah, then I would have died, like he said, within the calendar year. I didn't. I died after Rosh Hashanah already began. Like Moshe. Moshe says, Ki chatzos halayla. Moshe did not say chatzos, because since the it's tagnine paro, they don't know how to calculate time. They'll go and they'll make a mistake and they'll think that Moshe was a badai. He's a liar. He said, Ki chatzos, and really Hashem, everyone died a minute before, a minute after. So Hashem said, I don't want to get involved with these Mishugayim. Ki chatzos, approximately chatzos. Yirmiyah, in this instance, did not have the option of saying approximately within a year. He didn't have that option. He says, you're going to die by the end of the year. And therefore, Hananiah went and tried to outsmart him in order to delegitimize. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow this to happen? Kachi darko shel olam. This is the very important yisoid. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the most awesome miracles, it is Hashem will always leave a Pesach in the miracle for a shaita to come along and say it was a natural event. Hashem will do Kriyas Yamsuf, and to guarantee you'll have the biggest scientists will come along and say it was a tsunami. It was a tsunami, and it was just a great, great coincidence. They happened to come there at that moment in time. Was it really a tsunami, or was it a miracle? Well, Yamuna Pshuta, it was a miracle, L'malam Ederech HaTeva. people who want to have who don't want to believe, yeah, Hashem will give them that Pesach in order, because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Hashem always leaves the door open for anyone who wants to leave. You don't like it? So the Pesach is open for you to become an Apikoros. You see that so clearly here, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to die the very last moment and create a situation where he can make believe, keep himself alive on machines, artificially, and tell everyone that he really died after Rosh Hashanah in order to hide from Yiriyah. Yeah.
It wouldn't be a good proof because I'm not a good Yahuwah. It does not have to happen if a person does tshuva.
But he didn't do tshuva. He was a Rasha to the very, very end. In fact, he told his children, we'll learn later on, he told his son, take revenge. And it was public knowledge. When I die, you take revenge. You finish the mission. You finish. And his son was unable to finish the mission. He could not find an excuse in his lifetime to do anything harmful to Yirmiyah. And when his son died, he told his son, which was the grandson of Hananiah ben Azar, you finish the mission. And indeed, the grandson of Hananiah ben Azar was the one that threw Yirmiyah into the dungeon. Later on, so you see they were Risharim to the very, very end, and they did not come to an end. Let's see over here, the Mitzudot Stav is starting back with Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk, there is no Pasuk Yud Beis, so it's Pasuk Yud Gimel. Motos Eit Shavarta. You have broken the Motos, again, that discrepancy, the Motos plural. Ki ba'amro kacha eshbar, just like. Oh, so he explains why it says motos. Kocha eshbar me'al tzavar kol hagoyim harayu ki ilu shavar kol hamotos. So he points out, he makes that point, even though it says motos, and it said before mota, that since he broke one, so symbolically it's like he broke them all. It's by breaking one, he really meant to imply that all of the bars have been broken. So Hashem... Kocha, so I will break. Me'al tzavar hagoyim harehu ki'ilu shavar kol hamotos. All of, but physically, he only seemed to break one moat. And he was saying symbolically, the yoke that Nebuchadnezzar is attempting to cast upon all the nations will be removed. So I guess that's many yokes. Maybe you're right.
When Hananiah said kocha and shavar, yeah. He was talking about all of them.
But all that's more of symbolic. So
yeah. On all of them, even though he only
broke one. So physically he broke one, but his prediction was for all, but not all of the physical yokes, but all of the symbolic yokes. We are Sisa, Ata Yuta Sebimukaimon as replacements, Motos, Barzel, Hachazokim, and Oetzel are much stronger than wood, Ritzon Olemar, Aide Hashvira, Vehach, Choshas, Devar Hashem, through the breaking of the Motos. And the denial, the contradiction to the word of Hashem, Yugdal HaKetzef, the anger will be magnified, the Yachzik Oiloi Oid Yoiser, Hashem will punish you in kind, he will make the punishment even greater, and the yoke will be even stronger. Pasik Tesvav Al Sheker, and then Yirmiyah says that you're going to receive a private punishment because of the falsehood, Al Haftachas Sheker. Lochain hoil vini besa b'sheker. Lochain, therefore, argoshecha, I will drive you out me'al pnei hadama hashana hahi tamus, and this year you shall die. El Hashem k'mo al Hashem, because you've spoken false, because you've spoken sorrow. El should be interpreted as if it says Al Hashem, concerning Hashem, regarding Hashem, davar hamusar mimenu, something which is false, something that is turned away. Mashaloi amar, what Hashem did not say. Bachoydesh hashavi'i. So here's the chazal that we mentioned. Amar Rabbi Sinzachon Levracha, Shemes Erev Rosh Hashanah. He died Erev Rosh Hashanah. Vitziva lebonav sheyikberuhu achar Rosh Hashanah. Vehi b'shana acheres, it's the next calendar year. Vehelima yoyim yisasai, and he told his children to conceal the day of his death. Kidei la'asois nevuas Yirmiyah sheker, in order to try to persuade the people that Yirmiyah is fake, because he did not die. He said Yirmiyah, probably he knew that my medical records. He had access to my medical records that I'm not a healthy person. I know you're going to die. But if Yirmiyah was really right, I would have died. When he said I would die, I didn't die. I died the next year. So it goes to show that Yirmiyah is just a liar. Let's see, Pasuk The few psukim in Rashi, starting with pasuk Yudalit, Eschayas Asodin Asati Lo, Nebuchadnezzar. Not only will he rule the nations, he will even rule upon the animals. Sharach, we had this before. Sharochav Alari V'Koshar Tanin Bereishai. There must be some symbolism in these two things, I'm not sure. But he rode upon a lion, that was his chariot, and he tied a serpent, Berosho, wrapped around his head a serpent. He was king over all over the creatures. Hashana Tameis Uvashana Haboti Kover. So here, this year you will die. So Hirashi seems to learn that what Yirmiyah said was on the mark. You'll die this year. There are two parts to death. There is death and burial. Only the death will be this year, which implies the burial will be next year. So according to Rashi, it's on the mark. Exactly. It was a good simon. It was a perfect simon. Only the death will be this year, but the burial will be the next year. Bashana hahi b'chodesh ha-shvi'i. Question we said before, v'haloi ein chodesh shvi'i min ha-shana. But chodesh ha-shvi'i is the beginning of the next calendar year. Elameis erev Rosh Hashanah, v'tziva lebanav sheyikmeru liachar Rosh Hashanah v'lo kodem v'yalimu a'es misasai, and they shall conceal the fact that he died. Also hayom, from that day, k'dilasos nevuas yirmiya sheker. Let's see the Radak. Going back to Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk, there is no Radak on Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Asisa Tachtehen Motos Barzel Omar Hokel Yirmiyahu Om Emor Lechananya. Give over the following message to Hananya. Motos Eit Shibarto Yato Anu Taaseh Tachtehen Motos Barzel Kishetoymar Lo Zeh Hadavar Motos Eit Shavarto. When you say to him these words that you have broken motos of wood, the Tomelo O, tell him also Kikoy Ma Hashem Lokei Yisrael V'Goymer. El Hashem Tzivakos Elokei Yisrael. Why do we say over here the elaboration? Why do we, the elaboration of describing Hashem with so many different titles? Kineged Masha Omar Huba Zehalosha Nitzel Umazeh. That the same way Hananiah ben Ezar described Hashem in order to give emphasis to his words, who Amar Loi Koyamar Hashem Tzivakos Elokei Yisrael Leimar Shavarti Es Ol Melech Bavel. So Hashem responds in kind, the same expression Hashem Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzivakos, that you are going to be destroyed. I'm not going to go. No longer will there be. No longer will there be. Motos of eights, we will replace them with motos of barzel. Umash amar motos eights, vanachnu perashnu motos rutsuos, kein hu. So here he just coming to point out a point that he made in we learned last week. What exactly is the nature of these poles? So he explains, and he explained before, they're not really made from wood. They're motos rutsuos. They're poles made from straps, which would appear to be made. They're made from leather. Kainhu, it's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. What we're really referring to, the word eitz. Eitz is not the mot. Eitz is the yoke, like the Radak said before. Ki hamotos ritsuos ogidim. The motos are really leather, ogidim or sinews. Now I don't know what that means from animals. I guess it means from some type of sinews from animals. Chakoshim bohem ha'ol, which you tie to the yoke. And when it says here the motos eitz, it's referring to what the motos are attached to, the yoke. And the yoke was made from wood. The ha'oil may eitz. The yoke is made from wool. Lefich, therefore, samach ha'motos leitz. That's why we connect the word motos to the word eitz. V'chein motos barzel. Ein oimer shamotos hub mi barzel. Does not mean that the motos, the straps. He's translating the word motos not as a bar, like I have translated. That's really the translation according to most of the other Mepharshim. I think it's even how our art school translates it. But the way over here is saying the motos means the straps, and the straps are made from leather or from gidim sinews. And the reason it was the yoke is what's going to either be wood or going to be barzel. Ein oimer shamotos hub mi barzel, ela ha'oil yihiyeh mi barzel v'hamotos. But the motos, the bars, are either ritzuos leather, or gidim sinews shekoshim or somehow which you tie to the yoke. Me'al pnei adam, I'm going to exile you. Nebuchadnezzar is going to control the. Tezvav refers to. I'm going to exile you. you have promised in falsehood, I'm going to mishalechacha, hinani mishalecha me'al pneiho adama, ritzayn aloimar, sheyikbor besoicha, sheyikhover besoicha, vihinehu mishulach me'al ponecha. It does not mean exile. It means you're no longer going to be vertical upon the earth. Face of the earth. In the ground. Below the ground. Very interesting way of describing burial. Bashana hahi b'chodesh hashvi'i, says already the third time we're going to the same concept. Over here, perish of sins of levracha. V'yama b'chodesh hashvi'i shona cheres haisa. V'at amar tekein. B'chodesh hashvi'i, it's a contradiction in the pasuk. It says this year, and then it says the seventh month. The seventh month is the beginning of the next calendar year. Ela melamed shemes be'erev Rosh Hashan. Indeed, he died within the original calendar year. V'tziva espanav, he told his children, uvneveso sheyotziu achar Rosh Hashanah, after Rosh Hashanah, k'dei lasos nevuos yirmiyo sheger. V'chein tergib yonason u'mischananya nevi sheger b'shatahi, in that year, v'iskebar. But he was buried b'yarcha shvi'oho in the seventh month. Umash etirgim kein gam kein hashana atames b'shata chodo. In this year atames b'roshata acharon nisa. This, I guess, what Rashi said. Rashi quoted from the Targum: you're going to only die in this year, but the burial will take place in the next year. Acharon nisa atames kabar perish hu sheperish. Ki kein kavonas Yirmiyahu. That's exactly what Yirmiyahu really meant to begin with. Loy sheyoymar loy kein beferish. Not that he explicitly said to him, you're going to die this year, but be buried next year. Yirmiyahu was only hinting. Sheim kein lohoysa nevuasa mucheshes bezeh. Because if Yirmiyahu actually went and made a public knowledge to the whole world that this man's going to die in the sixth month and be buried in the seventh month, then what was Hananiah ben Ezer trying to accomplish by telling his children to hide the fact that he died? Everyone knew that Yirmiyah said he's going to die in the sixth month and be buried the next month. Rather, Yirmiyah only hinted, I know what you're going to try to do, I know your whole plan, but I'm telling you this is what's going to happen anyway. Well, fine, it's therefore it was just a remez. According to this, that's what the Targum says. But if you don't really need to come, Targum is embellishing the pasuk with more than is necessary. If you want to learn the pasuk on a very simple level, it's aneser ki hu lo yama lo ha'ashana hazos atanes ela ha'ashana. You don't need to come on to the entire thing altogether, this whole Maimon Chazal. You can just say simply that when it says shana, means within a year. It doesn't mean within the calendar year, as we explained before. It means within 365 days. And therefore, Chodesh Hashvi is not a contradiction. When it says, Hashana Ela Hashana, Ritzin Lema Tech Shana Lenevuazo, within 1 year. And the Chayna Rabbi says, Shana Levracha, Le'inyin Nedarim, Hamuda Hanam Mechaveru Leshana. If a person makes a vow, I do not want to have benefit from you with the toikef, the power of a vow, for 1 year, it does not mean within the calendar year which expires with Rosh Hashanah. It means 12 months. 12 months. So therefore, that's also exactly what Yirmiyahu meant over here. Moineh yud beis chodoshim yom liyom v'im oma l'shana zo. But let's say you say this year, if you hear the word zo, afilu loy omad ela b'chav tes be'elu kevin shigia e'achecha b'tishri also loy shana. Then the year is over. So in this pasuk, it did not say b'shana zo. It just said b'shana. He says you hashana. So therefore, on a very simple level, it means that you're going to die within 1 year, 12 months. So then when it says b'chodesh hashvi, that's not an issue. It's only according to Chazal that we want to say that the word hashana in this pasuk is equivalent to Chazal's expression b'shana zo. The calendar year is going to end, and that's why there is a contradiction. We have to come on to this Chazal that he made this plan in order to show that Yirmiyah's nevuah was sheker. Okay, let's go to the next parak. So we shall not forget anything I wanted to mention. This is Perek Chof Ches. Okay, let's go to the next Perek. Now, the Eila Divrei Perichov Tes Pasakal, the Eila Divrei Sefer Asher Shalach Yirmiyah Hanavi Mirushalayim El Yeser Zigne Hagoyla V'yel HaKayanim V'yel HaNaviyim V'yel Kol Ha'am Asher Heglu V'chanetza Melchum Mirushalayim Bavela. Here's a new theme. The Golas has begun. Yechoniah has been exiled together with the Choresh v'Hamasker. This took place 11 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yirmiyah is living in Yerushalayim. Yirmiyah, he sends a letter. He sends a letter giving a message to the Bnei Goyla. Now, then we'll go, now the Bnei Goyla, we're going to see just a little hagdamo to this perek. They were very uncomfortable living in Bavel, and they firmly believed that in a very short period of time they're going to return, and therefore they felt even to buy property would be a lack of faith on their part in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here we are, we're in Galus. Tomorrow we're going back home. If you're a tourist, if you're traveling and you stay over in a motel, you're not going to buy property. I'm out of here tomorrow. This is not my home. I'm only here for the day. I'm only here for a visit. I'm only traveling, passing through. The people living in Babel, they felt that it's only a very, very short period of time until they will return to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it would be unfaithful on their part to purchase land, to buy property, even to get married. Now is not a time to be Oisik and Shidduchim.
So if you went back...
That's the irony. The irony is that they got very comfortable, they bought property, they settled down, and they didn't even want to go back. When then the time came, 70 years later, they forgot about everything. Yeah, we like it over here, we're not going to go in a chadam, exactly. But originally, the very first year or two, the very, very, very beginning, they did not. And Yirmiyah over here is encouraging them and telling them, listen, you're not going back for a very long time. 70 years is a very long time. Therefore, I strongly advise you, buy real estate. Invest, buy real estate. Settle down, build yeshivas. Build pizza shops. Build coffee shops. Get married. What?
Restaurants.
Establish yourself very well because you're not going anywhere. And get married. Marry off your children, marry off your sons and your daughters. In other words, you have to settle down. You have to face reality. You have to be practical. This is the thrust of his message, and the people were very surprised that the Navi would tell them to do something to tell them that they're not going anywhere for a very long time. So let's see again. Let's start again the parrot. The Eila, the following of is the message, is the content of the Divrei HaSefer of the book. It wasn't just a letter. It's more than just an igeres. It was a thesis. It was an entire book that he sent. He sent the people living in Bavel to persuade them, you're here for the long term. Settle down. Asher shalach Yirmiyah HaNavi Yerushalayim el to the Yeser Ziknei HaGoyla, the remnants of the elders of the Goyla, V'yelach V'yehanev Yehanevim V'yel Kol Ha'om Asher Heglen V'chanesim V'yushan Bavel to Bavel. Acharei Tseis, when did this happen? Acharei Tseis Yechonyah Mel HaMelech, after Yechonyah the king, V'hagevira. The Gevira means one of two things. Either means the queen, Yechonyah's wife, or it means Yechonyah's mother. Yechonyah's mother was the wife of Yehoyakim. So even though Yehoyakim died on his way to Yerushalayim, Yehoyakim died, but that was on his way, that was on the way to Bavel, that was before, but she survived. And she went into Galus together with her son Yechonyah, the Hasarisim, and all of the officers, the Sari Yehuda, the Yerushalayim, the Hacharosh, the Hamaske, which we had many, many times, all of the craftsmen and the gatekeepers, which mean either the people that were very, that's one interpretation, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Chorosh, when they speak, everyone is silent. It's like a deaf mute. Everyone is silent. They want to hear what they have to say. The Hamasker, they are the closers. When they close a topic, there's nothing more to discuss. They have uncovered every possible svara. Everything that you can possibly need to know about a certain issue has been taken care of by these people. They were the most brilliant people. And some say very simply, these were the craftsmen, and they posed the greatest threat to Nebuchadnezzar because they can build weapons, they come up with strategy in order to defeat Nebuchadnezzar. In order to prevent these people from making trouble, he took them with him. Biyad. Now, the Biyad is going back on who was the messenger who delivered the letter to the people living in Galus. The letter was sent Biyad through El Osa Ben Shafan. Ugimaria ben Chilkia. So Asher Shalach Tzidkia Melech Yehuda El Nebuchadnezzar, which Tzidkia Melech Yehuda he sent El Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. Asher Shalach Tzidkia Melech Yehuda El Nebuchadnezzar. He sent a message to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, Melech Babel, Bavel to Babel, Lamar sang. Okay, now let's before we see
the
message is coming up. The message is pasuk dal is the message. So let's before we see the actual message.
He sent it through two people. What would it be?
I guess you need many messengers. You know, you have to make sure there's no fraud.
Different neighborhoods.
Well, you have to make sure no one should change the text. You need some. I'm not sure. I guess it's said with many people. Okay, let's see. Before we get to the actual text, let's see over here the parish. Let's see the mitzvahs. Eliezer al osan shebi Yerushalayim, concerning the remnant, those the addition. To those who are living in Yerushalayim. Notice the people living in Yerushalayim are the Ikar. The Yeser means everyone else. Everyone else who's not living in Yerushalayim. Where then are they living? Well, they have been exiled by Nebuchadnezzar to Babel. Shehigla. They have gone into exile. Achar sheyatzu Yechonya liyos nimsadim b'yad Nebuchadnezzar kmo shekasev b'malachim like it says in Malachim. V'agevira, who's the Gevira? Either Hamalka, the queen. Then he goes v'hi eim Hamelech, and the queen is not his wife, not Yechonya's wife, but rather it is his mother. Ki hi yatzu imo kmo shekasev shema it says in Sefer Malachim. V'has sarisim v'chazer perish sari Yehuda b'Yerushalayim. Who are the sarisim? The Sari Yehuda Yerushalayim, Yachosh Hamasker, Heim Ha'umnim, Vashemir Hasharim, the craftsmen and the gatekeepers, Asher Sagru Osam Beitam, that closed the gate of the Parbatam, Kain Tigam Yonasan. Biad Elo saw, Ritzon Eloimar, Hasefer Hazeh, the message, this book, which contains the message, which we're going to read in a few moments, was delivered Biad through Elo saw Vachulu, Bavela, Libavel, Lamar, Divrei Hasefer, Hayu, Lamar, Esa Amu Lamata. The words of the Sefer were meant to be related to the people, to the people. So if we go back to the part, let's see the first Rashi.
He said it to Nebuchadnezzar, he said it to the people.
I'm not sure. Let's see Rashi and the Merdak and become clear. Let's see. Pasik, Beis, all Rashi says is the Eim Hamelech. Like the Mitzudos. Let's see Radak. Pasik Yud Pasik Beis HaGevira He Eim HaMelech VeHasari Sim Kitargumo Rav Revaya the Great Ones Elosa Milachas it's Elos, that's his name. So I think what it means, going back to Pasik Gimel Biyad Elosa Ben Shafan VeGemaria Ben Chilkia Asher Sholach Tzidk. I guess you have to send to the post office. The post office is Nebuchadnezzar. I think what it means is he sent these two people. These two, they can't go on their own. These two people were dispatched by Yirmiyah told Tzidkiyahu that Tzidkiyahu should send. Yirmiyah had a message. Yirmiyah was not authorized on his own to send a messenger to Babel. Once you come to the border of Babel, they'll say, "Who are you?" You have to go through official channels. So Yirmiyah sent Elasa Ben Shafan Ugimaria Ben Chilkia, and then they were sent to Tzidkia, and Tzidkia officially was the one who sent to Nebuchadnezzar, so that and told Nebuchadnezzar, let this letter end up in the hands of who it's supposed to go through. So they're going through, it appears, to official channels, not through back channels, not through some messenger service that's unreliable. You have to go through the main gateways. Asher sholach tzidkiyah melech yudah el nebuchadnezzar melech bavel bavel leimar the following message. Now what is the message? Koyma Hashem tzavakos lokei yishol l'chol ha-goylo. Here we have a message. Asher higleisi mi-Yerushalayim bavel who have sent exile to Yerushalayim. Here is the key message. Now these psukim are very a popular psukim. It's in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses the many midrashim.
This was before the
Korban. But it was 11. It was 11. It was already the galus. It was 11 years before the korban, but it was already a galus. Yechaniah.
He was sending this to the Chorash V'Hamaskeh.
He's sending this message to the Chorash V'Hamaskeh. This message is being dispatched by these two people, Elasa ben Shafan, Ugmarya ben Chilkiah. They are being sent through Tzidkiah, because Tzidkiah has the means to send the message, and it's being sent to Nebuchadnezzar. Not that Nebuchadnezzar has anything to do with this message, but Nebuchadnezzar should allow that these people to proceed and deliver it to the Bnei Gola. Because you just can't walk into the country and give over a message to people. Who are you? You're not allowed into the country. You have to go through the official channels in order to deliver the message to its intended recipient. Now, what is the message? The message has many parts.
That's what he's really doing.
Objected, he'd be very happy. Right. So if once they see the content of the message, so then Nebuchadnezzar maybe himself will say, I have a message from you through Yirmiyah. All these people in Achanami, so it would not be objectionable because it's to his benefit, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what is the mesh? The mesh over here is Binu Vatim Vishavu. Very powerful Chiddush. Shocking Chiddush. Shook up the people. You're not going anywhere. You're not living in refugee camps. You're there for good. You're there for 70 years. There's not going to be a refugee camp. Settle down. Settle down. Again, this was a shocking thing because until they got this message, they were sitting there with their luggage. They were sitting there on their luggage and tents. We're not going anywhere. We're in a refugee camp. We're going back home to our land. This is just temporarily. No. Binu Vatim, build homes, Vishavu, and dwell there. Vinitu Ganois, get jobs. Go plant vineyards, gardens. The ichlues period. Enjoy yourself. Eat the fruit. Kichu nashim. Get married. Don't think you're going to come back and you're going to find the shidduch in Eretz Yisrael. There are no shidduchim for you in Eretz Yisrael. No one's waiting for you over here. Take whatever you have over there. Kichu nashim. V'haylidu banim, and have children of anos. Now here's something very chiddush. Ukichu livneichem nashim. Take for your sons nashim, the esbinoy seichem tnu lo nashim, and give your daughters over to men. Marry a few daughters. How do you have a power to marry a few daughters? The one that makes the decision is not the daughter. It's not the father-in-law's choice. The one who makes the choice in marriage in halacha is the chasan. That's the Gemara's, one of the Gemara's very famous questions. How does the pasuk over here indicate that the father should go and give his daughter in marriage to la noshim? That's shalaika halacha. Once a girl already is of marriage relations, already passed bas mitzvah, it's not within your power to give your daughter to a man. Maybe you'll tell me similar that they're referring over here before the bas mitzvah. Before the bas mitzvah, then the one that's mekabel the kedushin, the one that's mekabel the kedushin is a father. The father has shlita. When she's a naira, they can both do it. The father and the father. Well, is that true? When she's a naira, they can both do it. Mekabel kedushin or not? Naira, only the girl. Only the girl's mekabel kedushin. So maybe you'll tell me the pasuk is only discussing when they're on the bus, possibly. But being the pasuk is more general, we have a right to assume that it refers even to a daughter that's an adult. A daughter that's an adult, once a girl is already 12 years old, the father has absolutely no power in giving her over to a man. So what then does this pasuk mean? It's a famous chazal in the Gemara Kedushin, and the Gemara says, a father still has a moral, for here we learn, that a father has a moral obligation to give his daughter things that will make her attractive in the eyes of the common man so that they should want to marry her. It's not a halachic directive, because there is no halacha, but it is a moral obligation to support her and provide for her things that will make her attractive to give, for men to marry her. Let's go further. And they should give birth to children, uvanos and daughters, urevusha, multiply there. The al tamatu, and do not be diminished. You should grow in population. I remember they said by Rabbi Belsky's holy rabbi, his levaya, Rabbi Ganak said, is that he had, Baruch Hashem, he had a lot of children. So when it got to a certain point, the doctor asked him, Rabbi, why do you have to have so many children? Why the Orthodox, Rabbi Belsky on the spot says, we're an endangered species. We're an endangered species, so we need to have a lot of children. So it's exactly what it says over here. Uruvu Sham.
Said something similar.
What?
A friend of mine is a professor in college, and one of the other professors says, "When are you guys going to stop having children?" And he said, "I'm sorry. Well, we hit 6 million."
Okay. Revusha, multiply there, v'al tim atu, and do not diminish. V'dirish. Now here is an amazing pasuk. This is a very powerful limud musar for all of us. V'dirishu. Okay, dirishu, that's not referring to the organization, the Daf Yomi. V'dirishu, esh shaloim ha'ir. Seek out the welfare of the city, asheri higleisa eschem shama, to where I have exiled you, and not only seek out its welfare, its good and welfare, not only seek out its welfare, get involved, hishtadlos, be political, be an advocate,
run for office,
participate in election. It says get involved, and not only should you get involved, the hispalilu ba'ada, pray on its behalf. The tefillah for the Shalom HaMedina, it's an explicit pasuk. It was said from time immemorial in almost every country. And for some reason, some very mysterious reason, in America, among the B'nai Torah, I don't know, it just dropped off the face of the earth. It's a very big mystery why it's... In shuls, I said by the B'nai Torah. In the shuls, they still do it. In the shuls, they still do it. Not all the shuls. Today, all the shuls today are morphing into mini yeshivas. That's the derech. It's a new generation. Baruch Hashem, you have a lot of B'nai Torah. And all the B'nai Torah, as they spread out, they become members of the shuls. And then the shuls today are becoming more
more to the right.
More of a product of the B'nai Torah. So that's, it's a very nice thing. But for some mysterious reason, I don't know what happened, the spalu ba'ada el Hashem ki vishloima, when the country, your host country, is in a state of peace, yiyeh lochem shalom. I mean, you don't have to elaborate. The pasuk speaks for itself. It's Dvarim Pshutim Ad Ma'od. There's so much musa here in being a participant in the country in which you live. There is it's all here in this pasuk. Okay, now let's see. Now there's a lot. Let's go through these few psukim first. Starting with the Meshes on pasuk Dalid in the Mitzudos David. There is no Mitzudos David Pasuk Dalid, Pasuk Hey. V'shevu. V'shevu means settle down. V'teshu bohem ki lo seitzu mi bavel b'zman karov. You're not leaving bavel for a long time, not in the near future. V'halidu ad lo seitzu misham. Before you leave, have children. Urvu sham, multiply. V'tzen eloi mar kichu nashim l'man tirbu sham v'kofel hadav b'milu b'kamo shakasov. The al timatu, do not, your number should not be diminished. Ritzon loymar al timnu lokachas nashim lebal tima, do not withhold from taking nashim, so that you should not, your number should not be diminished. Ki kashiyamusu heim v'lo yishadu banim b'mekayimim yimatu im kain b'mispar. Dvarim pshutim, because if you do not multiply, if you do not get married and have children, then when you die, then your numbers will be diminished. Rashi, there is none over here. There's no Rashi. And Radak, we have Pasuk Zai, only one Pasuk. Ki bishloima yelochem shalom. When there's peace, for them there will be peace to you. Kol zman shetimashech hagalus, ki b'churban babel hoyelochem yoseh shalom. As sheyetzu mehigalos, kol zman shetimashech hagalus, you shall, when there'll be peace for Babel, there'll be peace for you. Ki bechurban bavel ha'yelochem yoyser shalom. Sheyetzu me'agalus. Only when you're there, only while you're there, will there be peace.
When Babel is destroyed,
then will be even more peace. Only when Babel is destroyed will you go out. But in the meantime, as long as there's kolzman, the key words over here are kolzman. This is not meant to be forever. Kolzman shetimoshech hagolus, that's when you need there to be peace in Babel. But ultimately, Babel will get what they deserve. Because Babel, we learned this many times, Babel was destroyed like no other nation. The Churban that came to all the nations for all of the tzaras they did to Klal Yisrael did not match the Churban, the complete obliteration that came to Babel. Why? Because Babel is the nation that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Babel has a special place in the heart of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Chatoim that they've done. And you see, Ad Hayom Hazeh, Iraq is mamish a churban. To go to Iraq is pikuach nefesh. It's the churban that's going on in Iraq. Continuous churban. No one can do. There's nothing anyone can do to turn the tide of what's going on over there. And this was all predicted by Yeshaya, by Yirmiyah, by Yecheskel, and the Trei Asar. Over and over you come out with this yesod that Bavel is going to get something extra special for the rishis that of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. The other nations of the world will get what they deserve for their wicked deeds, for what they've done to Klal Yisrael, but no one comes to Bavel. So therefore it's very interesting. Yeah, Hashem is telling us to pray for Bavel. How can you pray for Bavel? Well, now it's for your benefit. While you are in Golos, you need them because they are your host country. So while there's peace, then there will be peace for you. Now in this pasuk, there's an interesting twist on this pasuk when it talks about praying for the Shloim HaMedina. So someone will interpret this to mean not to pray for Bavel, it means pray for Eretz Yisrael. That while you're in Bavel, you go back and read the pasuk, you have to translate the pasuk a little differently.
It's a pretty big stretch.
It's a stretch. It is a stretch. It is indeed a stretch. Let's just read the pasuk again. The deer should seek out as Shalom Ho'ir. What's the Shalom Ho'ir? Yerushalayim. While you are in Golis, seek out the Shalom Ho'ir. Asher Higle Si Eschem Shama. Now that's the stretch. That's the stretch. Is in the place of where I have exiled you, you should still seek out the Shalom of the Ir Yerushalayim. Who says this interpretation?
Well, he scrambled the letters, right?
What?
Scrambled everything. Shalom
Ha'ir. Kama.
No. If you rearrange the letters...
What do you mean?
Pretty much get Yerushalayim.
Shalom Ha'ir is Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim. The Ayin? The Ayin doesn't fit. Okay. But who am I to... I'm not making this up.
Well,
I wouldn't make this up.
The Oitzer
HaMidrashim, page 88. The sages, I'm reading you here what it says in the article, the sages elucidate this verse as referring to the city of Jerusalem. Although Jeremiah encouraged them to settle comfortably in Babylonia, he was warning them not to become so content that they would forget their origins. So it's very interesting interpretation. You have to look really, really backwards. Asher iglesa eschem shama, that when you're there in the land, when you become going to exile, don't forget to still be mispalel the tefillah for the Shalom HaMedina. So when you go to a regular shul and they make both mishaberachs, then they mekayim both perushim of the pasuk. Then they mekayim the pshuta shel mikra to be mispalel for the Shalom HaMedina mamish. And they also don't forget where you belong. A Jew does not belong in Golis. A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael. Don't get too comfortable. Think about, pray for the Shalom HaMedina of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's a very, very interesting idea. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Let's start the next pasuk. Ki koyam Hashem tzivoy. Let me just see if I have there's another medrash I wanted to mention to you. So we mentioned. Okay. Now this is an interesting medrash. It talks about. It's not a medrash. It's the Gemara. It's all built upon this pasuk. What's called the Ksubas Binon Nukvin. Many people complain that Chazal don't seem to give women the attention that they deserve. There can be nothing further than the truth. This pasuk is one of the main sources that there's something called an iksuva. In that, one of the things in the iksuva is ksuvas binon nukvan, and that means that one of the conditions written in the ksuva, or it's not, it's written in the ksuva, but it's one of the conditions that is a takonas chazal. In the event a husband dies and leaves over daughters that are not yet married, that's called the takonas binin nukvin. They're not yet married. So meikar hadin, and there are sons. So meikar hadin b'mokom sheyesh bein ein lebas klum. when a man dies and has sons and daughters, according to Torah law, a girl gets zero, and all the money goes to the sons. That's the halacha in the Torah. But Chazal, forget about the living will, Bizman Hazef, forget about the 21st century and the RCA and the Aguda and the OU, forget about what they have come up with. Let's talk about Chazal. The Ninukvin is that in the event there are girls who are not married, okay, it only extends to girls that are not married, they are entitled to receive from the Yerusha first the amount of money that the father would ordinarily give to marry off his daughter. So if the father in the past married off another daughter, and he gave for the daughter $50,000 to cover the wedding expenses and the nadin and help her get it all set up, and now he dies and he leaves over, doesn't have that much money left over, the girls are still entitled to a bulk of the Yerusha because of this takana that an unmarried girl is mechuyev, the takanas chazal, that she should get what she needs to get married and to set up a home. So you'll ask, where did Chazal have the right to come up with such a takana? The Torah says, girls, b'makom sheyesh bein ein lebas klum. How did Chazal have a right to be so, what is it called, progressive? Is that what it's called? To give so much to the girls? The Gemara says, the takana comes from this pasuk. Like we said before, that when the father is alive, he has an obligation, we said before, to provide his daughter with things to make her attractive, that men should want to marry her. Part two. And when the father is not alive, and is living over Yerusha, and the Ikar Hadin, the Yerusha, goes to the sons, and the girls get zero, yeah, that may be true when the girls are married. Let their husbands go and provide for them. But if they're not married, it says here in the pasuk, they're not yet married. So it says, "Ukichu levnechem nashim, take for your sons' daughters. V'yes binoy seichem tenu la nashim, make sure you give your daughters to men." And that means even after death. That's Chazal. That's the Ferush Gemara and Masechta Ksubis. Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis. All coming from this pasuk. This pasuk, one of the critical psukim in teaching us that Chazal very much took into consideration the needs of women, the needs especially of one's daughters in all different types of circumstances. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're up to a good stop point. Pasuk Ches. We'll pick up Yud Shem tomorrow.